And you tuned into Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. It's 8:19. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Senator Mark Pryor joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. We just heard on NPR, they were doing a series talking with a woman in Wisconsin, I believe it was, about a lot of issues that people are concerned about in this election. And I know during the August recess, you have been traveling around the state quite a bit, and you've been talking to people. What are folks in Arkansas talking to you about?
Well, I think jobs and the economy is the number one concern out there. And, you know, it's just the reality of it. We went through an extremely hard recession that started in 08, by the way. It was before the last presidential election, so before President Obama came in. But very harsh recession, lots of cold realities about that recession. And we still are in the aftermath of that. And it's painful. And you see the job numbers. You know that it's a struggle. And actually, I heard her talking about health care. I have not heard that much about health care. I think a lot of people in Arkansas are glad that the Supreme Court made the decision, whatever they decided, that they made the decision, and now people can actually plan for the future. And what I tell my Republican colleagues in Washington, I say, look, you guys talk about repeal and replace. You give me something better, and I'll vote for it. I promise you. I mean, I promise you I'll vote for it if it's better. But you have to put it in writing. I mean, I hear all the campaign speeches. I hear all the press conferences. I get the talking points. But what are you actually proposing to make health care better in this country? And honestly, they're not proposing anything right now. It's all rhetoric, and it's all this kind of, you know, Obamacare is bad. This is awful. It's terrible. They don't have any alternative. And I think that in the presidential race, I think that's going to be a big issue.
What about the criticism that the Republicans are using in this campaign, the presidential campaign, about claiming that the health care law basically has taken money out of Medicare in order to pay for it?
Yeah, that's not true. And that is designed just to scare people. And I can't really say I wish I could say it nicer, but basically that's just a lie. It's just not true. What the health care law did is it did find savings in Medicare, but where it found its savings was in the Medicare Advantage program. So what it is, it doesn't take money out of Medicare providers or helping seniors. What it does is the insurance companies were making a huge windfall in Medicare Advantage, and this law stopped that. So who's upset about that is the insurance companies that used to provide all the Medicare Advantage, because they were making out like bandits. And it was literally billions and billions of dollars a year in profit. So when they say that, that is honestly just a tactic designed to scare seniors. You know, we need to be honest about it, and the Republicans need to be honest about it. They've never liked Medicare. A lot of them, way back when they set it up in the 60s, voted against it. There have been several that have tried to repeal it or change it. And, I mean, you know, it's a little bit of crocodile tears for me, at least from my standpoint, when I see them talk about Medicare, when they've been trying to end it or modify it or do something to it. In fact, the Ryan budget really does fundamentally change Medicare, and it's going to shift a huge amount of the cost burden to seniors. It's going to shift about $6,000 a year to seniors, and it takes 10 years to phase in, and I get all that. I'm not arguing all the specifics of what he's saying, but you know, to me, that's a campaign tactic. That's rhetoric. That's based on polling data, not reality. And I think they're just trying to scare seniors.
Well, Dan, you mentioned the recession, and it's been a very difficult recovery from this recession and a very sluggish recovery. I think anyone would admit that. The director of the Congressional Budget Office has just said that the U.S. could actually slip back into recession. This could be a double-dip recession if the tax increases and the spending cuts go into effect at the end of the year.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, actually the Simpson-Bolt Debt Commission talked about this. I'm totally convinced that we need to do tax reform. I mean, we have to do it. Our tax code is not fair. It's so riddled with special deals for special interests. It's, everybody knows we have a huge problem with tax, but we need to do tax reform. We also need to do spending cuts. But at the same time, again, what the Simpson-Bolt Debt Commission said, is they said, look, be very careful about cutting your spending right now in this fragile economy, and also be very careful about doing anything too radical in the tax code right now. It needs to be done, but they were basically recommending that you wait a year or two to do it. So what the CBO is saying is pretty much just what most economists have been saying for a while, in that we need to be careful, in my view is, and I think Congress is very guilty of this, we need to tone down the rhetoric and start working together on this and finding a real solution. Because if, I think one of the reasons this, the recovery has been sluggish is because of Congress and the gridlock in Washington, Congress and the White House, I'll put everybody in there, Congress and the White House and the gridlock in Washington. I think the markets and I think the economy in general, they're waiting for some positive signals coming out of Washington, and they're just not getting those. And you know, if you would think, okay, we disagree on a lot of things, but we surely we ought to be able to agree on getting America's economy going again. And so, you know, I get pretty frustrated sometimes with, you know, how people handle this in Washington. But I share the concern CBO has. I think we need to be very careful right now.
Well, the problem is everybody agrees that we need to get the economy going again. It's just nobody can agree on how.
Yeah, and I tell you, when you throw in a presidential race and all these House races and, you know, the Senate races and all that, governor's races even for that matter, it gets really hard because people have their own partisan self-interest, and what they start doing is start looking for advantage. And, you know, it's a lot easier to blame someone for a problem than to actually come up with a solution, and you're seeing that really in spades in the presidential race and some of these national races around the country. So it's too bad, and you know, I think that most Arkansans are frustrated because they would like for their elected representatives to govern all 2 years or 4 years or 6 years of their term. They don't want them to turn off the responsibility in the election year and just blame the election. Well, we can't get that done because of the election. I just think that that's a people know in Arkansas that, you know, we sign on for a 2, 4, 6 year term, and we need to be working all of those years. We don't just take a, you know, take a hike on the election year.
Well, so is this double dip recession inevitable? Can it be stopped?
Oh, I think it can be stopped. You know, they were really predicting this a year or two ago as well, and it kind of got better, and now it's kind of coming back. And the truth is that we have some fundamentals in our economy we need to address, and some of that's going to be the housing market and things like that. But I really think, you know, there was a minister from Australia. I don't know if he was their economic minister. I'm not quite sure what he was. But he made a good point in Washington a couple of months ago. He said the U.S. is one budget deal away from restoring American preeminence in the global economy. And what he meant by that is this. People are very nervous about Europe right now. And they'd rather be in the U.S. People are nervous about China. There's some things going on in China that are not good, that it's making a lot of folks nervous. They want to be in the U.S. But we need to send a signal to the world that we can handle the economy politically. You know, that's the problem. When we got downgraded on our debt and we lost the AAA rating we'd always had, it wasn't the amount of national debt we have. I mean, obviously, that's a big factor. But it was the political environment that the markets were saying, we're not sure the U.S. is capable of handling this right now because of American politics. And that's sad. We need to show the world that we can handle it. And, you know, certainly I feel like that's one of my missions in Washington, is try to act responsibly and try to do everything I can to do the right thing.
Well, the Senate race in our neighboring state of Missouri has of course, made national news recently with an apparent standoff between the leading Republicans and the GOP Senate candidate there, Representative Todd Akin. Akin, of course, as most people have heard, made inflammatory comments about rape and answering a question about abortion rights. You know, every politician takes a risk when talking about such a hot-button topic, and he apologized for using a wrong word, but a lot of people, including some federal Republicans, say that it was more than just one wrong word.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see, like, the Republican Senate Campaign Committee and others come out very quickly and tell him he should withdraw from the race. I think they feel like this goes beyond just a slip of the tongue. And you know, I'll say this about that race. I don't know him at all. I've had the pleasure of working with Senator McCaskill now for 5.5 years, and I've enjoyed it. I know that Claire is a very staunch, balanced budget person. She's been going after the waste in federal government and federal programs, and she's been a very, very good budget hawk, and I'm going to tell you, I've sat in a lot of meetings with her, and every time you sit down with her, it's all about Missouri. She's looking at Missouri and what is good for Missouri and how she can best represent Missouri, and I'm impressed with that. And I even noticed the other day on this Aiken issue that flared up over the last few days, you know, she said that it's probably where this guy is. He probably believes everything he said. He's trying to backtrack now. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if he stays in the race or comes out of the race. He won the Republican primary. I can certainly see why he feels like he should stay in, because he fought hard to get there. And, you know, we'll see. Well, the Missouri will make a decision on that. And if he does stay in, it'll be McCaskill versus Aiken, and we'll see what kind of senator they want to have. But I've enjoyed working with Claire McCaskill. I think she's been an ace.
Well, you've been traveling around the state, like we said, and we've talked about what people have been talking to you about. You've been making several stops and in places where there's positive economic news in Arkansas.
You know, we do have a lot of good economic news in the state, and it has been really fun for me to go around and see how productive and see how hard people are working in their jobs, and just, you know, it's been great. And I have been kind of traveling around almost on a Made in Arkansas tour. I've been going to all kinds of different plants and just locations that have, you know, just have a lot of good things going on there. In fact, today I'm going to be in West Memphis and be over in that area, and I'll, you know, of course, be looking at the two-year college over there and, you know, buzzing around town. And there's a lot of good things going to West Memphis. We just helped them get a Tiger grant, so they're going to try to really take that port over there to the next level. The Memphis side of the Mississippi River is very congested, and the Arkansas side is not as congested. So we think they have some great opportunities there to get even more jobs in that port area.
Batesville is another town that a lot of things are going on there.
Yeah, you know, Batesville, I was very impressed with Batesville. You know, one thing is, talking about, we started out talking about healthcare. They have a great hospital there, and they're very committed to that. And it's one of the things that makes that a great place to live, good quality of life. We also went to Bad Boy Mowers. Mm-hmm. You know, and Bad Boy's been a great success story. They've increased their sales every single year, including during the recession. And, man, it is made in America. You know, they are very proud of that. They make pretty much virtually every single part in those mowers is made in the U.S. A lot of it's Nucor steel, and even the engines they use, like Kawasaki and other engines, Briggs and Stratton, but even most of that's made in America. So it's impressive, and it just makes you feel great about a couple of Arkansas guys that thought, hey, we can build a better lawnmower, and that's what they've done, and it's been phenomenal.
Now, talking about the economy and things, you know, going well here in Arkansas, you just returned from a trade mission with some other members of the Arkansas delegation to parts of Central America.
I did. I went with Congressman Crawford and Senator Bozeman down to Panama and Colombia. And one of the funny or interesting things is the president of Panama, Martinelli, President Martinelli, is a University of Arkansas graduate. So He has very, very fond memories of spending 4 years in the 1970s in Arkansas, and talked about floating to Buffalo, going to Hot Springs to the races, you know, all those kind of things that we all do in Arkansas. He just had nothing but great things to say. But the both those countries have recently, in the last year or so, we've entered into a free trade agreement with them. We think both of those free trade agreements are going to be very advantageous, not just to American products going over there, but Arkansas products going over there. So this is one of the things we wanted to do in Panama and Colombia, is look at how we can increase our presence in those countries. And, for example, Colombia is 45 million people. I mean, it's a big country. It's like the size geographically of Texas and California. You know, it's a big country, and they could be a great trading partner with us. There's some tariffs and whatnot on their end that make it difficult, for example, our ag products, you know, rice and other things, to go in to Colombia and also to Panama, for that matter. But those are going away with free trade agreements. So, you know, it gives us a great opportunity to get a lot of our products in there, and it's going to be great. And so I was really honored to be able to go down there and kind of spread the good news about Arkansas.
We've just got a little over a minute left. I wanted to mention our military. Of course, we're very proud of our Arkansas military members, organizations, and the bases here in the state. The Air Force Base in Jacksonville and the 188th Fighter Wing in Western Arkansas, of course, all do great work and are such vital parts of the community. But, you know, there are always concerns about the future of these bases, especially as the Defense Department faces significant budget cuts.
Well, they're not going to be immune from the budget cuts, and this is something that we need to be honest with people about. I know there's a lot of rhetoric about we can't cut military spending. Well, we're going to have to. If you look at military spending as part of our overall big picture budget, you know, it's about 60% of our discretionary spending is military spending, and you can cut all that other stuff out completely and still not balance the budget. So the military, they know that. The Pentagon, the men and women in uniform, they understand that. And there are ways that you can cut the military without harming our readiness and our preparedness, and that's what we're looking at. So I just spent all day Tuesday over in Fort Smith on the 188 with those A-10 Warthogs over there, and they're actually deployed in Afghanistan, but we had a congressman from Virginia, and he was looking around. It was a great day. This state's very patriotic. I know your listening audience has a lot of National Guard presence. Mm-hmm. There are people all over Northeast Arkansas that are in the National Guard or somehow tied into it. And, you know, we're certainly proud of their service. And as we go through the budget cuts, we need to be very careful when it comes to our military spending.
Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington this morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro.